All right. Hi, can you hear me? Okay. Well, good afternoon, everyone. So good to see all of you back here. Now, today, Pastor's not here with us. He's currently in Perth ministering to our battle brethren. This week, Pastor Chris went for a minor surgery on his throat. The last few months, he had been battling with this discomfort in his throat. It's making his voice hoarse, and he wasn't sure what it was. But a few weeks ago, he went to see the ENT doctor, and the doctor helped him to check his throat and realized that there was a polyp growing on his vocal cord. So he had to go for surgery this week to remove it. But in removing it, he also cannot use his, he cannot speak for the next couple of weeks. So Pastor very graciously offered to be at, in Bethel to speak to them for the 2 weekends. So he's not going to be here with us for 2 weekends. And when he's there, you have us here. And today is my joy to be here to speak at youth worship. It is my first time, a little nervous, but I'm also very excited to bring the Lord's word to you. And as we begin, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Let's take time to really speak to God, and just to ask Him to settle our hearts and to worship Him. All right, come, we'll have the prelude. Well, good afternoon again. Realize I didn't introduce myself. I'm Pastor Eugene, for some of you who are not familiar with me. And it is my joy to be here to speak to you at Youth Worship. And today we're going to continue our study of the book of Genesis. We're going to continue with Genesis 33. A few weeks ago, we learned about how Jacob had to face up to his fear of his brother Esau. You know, when he sent servants to speak to Esau, word came back that Esau was coming to meet him, and with him were 400 men. And Genesis 32, verse 6 tells us that he became greatly distressed, greatly afraid and distressed. And the fear was really that Esau would attack him and his family for all that he did to him 20 years ago. So today we're going to take a look at how this story unfolds as Jacob meets Esau, and we're going to see how faith made all the difference for him as he meets Esau and faces his greatest fear. Well, we go to the Lord in prayer. Come, let's pray. Our Father, we come before you this afternoon to thank you for your word. We thank you for the many lessons that you have taught us through the book of Genesis. And as we take time to study Genesis 33 today, we pray that you speak to our hearts, you'll open our understanding, and to be able to see how we can find a faith to help us to fight our fears. We pray and ask for your blessings. Will you be with us? We commit all things to you in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to invite chairpersons, Stanley and Ollie, to come up. They'll lead us in a time of singing, and followed by the scripture readers. And then Pastor John will come and give us a word of prayer. All right? Now, Stanley, Ollie, thanks.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Youth Worship. I am Olivia, and this is Stanley. And we are so glad to be able to sing with all of you today. Today, the first song that we will be singing is Bless the Lord by Laura Story. The lyrics of the song are inspired by Psalm 103, which is a psalm praising God for his mercies towards us. As we learn wonderful lessons about the life of Jacob from youth worship, what stands out to me is God's hand of mercy in Jacob's life. Although there were times where Jacob made mistakes, in God's mercy, he continued to patiently teach Jacob many lessons. There were lessons of learning how to relate to God, lessons of prayer, lessons of trust, and lessons of faith in God's promises, so that Jacob would learn how to cultivate a real and personal faith in the Lord. All these culminated into a turning point, which we learned last week from Genesis 32. Slowly and surely, Jacob was changing. Instead of caring about his pride or his wealth, Jacob was driven to seek God in prayer in his time of need. Genesis 32, verse 28 reads, "And he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed.' Likewise, we have the same God of mercy who can change us too. But it's up to us to open our hearts and to open our eyes to learn the lessons that God is patiently teaching us. For me, one of the lessons that God has been teaching me throughout my life is the lesson of trust. I am a person who fears uncertainty, which causes me to plan my life in hope that things will go according to plan. However, I often take things for granted and fail to seek God in making my decisions. From secondary school to completing my A-levels and then choosing what I should do for university, things didn't always go according to my plan. Though this often made me face difficult situations, I saw God's faithfulness and his blessings to me throughout how he has provided for me in other ways. I recognize that God has been teaching me to rely on him and not to rely on my own ways. Something that is more crucial to me even today, as I move on to making bigger decisions in life, such as what occupation to choose in the future. We must learn lessons of faith well, so that our faith can be strengthened in order for us to change." The lyrics of the verse and the chorus say, "And as you begin to refine, I'm learning to let go and rely on one who walks with me, as hard as it may be. You're teaching me all the while to say, 'Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that's in me, bless your name.' I am thankful that God will continue to patiently teach us lessons and to guide us so that we can find a genuine and personal faith in him. I cannot help but praise God and bless his name. Let us take this song together."
Well, thank you for your singing, and thank you, Gabby, for playing for us on the piano. Psalm 95, verse 6 to 7 reads, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Why do we worship God? One special thing about Psalm 95 is that the psalmist's reason for worshiping God was never focused on himself or solely on his own feelings, but was entirely inspired by who God is. In particular, the fact that God is our God alone is more than sufficient to inspire worship and reverence. It is truly a privilege to be able to have the Lord God as our personal God, for us to be the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Just a week ago, I finished my final examinations in school, and I have graduated from university. As I took the time to reflect on 4 arduous years of school, there were many reasons to thank God: his faithfulness, his mercies, his strength, and so much more. But all these things can be traced back to the awesome privilege
to be able to know God personally, to be able to be part of God's flock and his people, to be able to bring any matter to God in prayer, are things that I really don't take for granted as I go through school. These past 4 years have been challenging, going through new subjects in school, adapting to university life, the pandemic, Zoom classes, and even falling ill amid school. But amidst challenges and change, our God remains constant, unchanging, ever-present, and ever-faithful to us. Well, what should our response be to this great and awesome God, who is our God? And this is very much encapsulated in the song which I would like to sing with all of you this afternoon, entitled, With All of My Heart. An appropriate response to the wonderful privilege of being able to know God and have him as our personal God and shepherd is to draw near to him and to seek him with our whole heart. This is something that Pastor has also been encouraging us to do as we learned over the past 2 weeks about the topic of prayer. You know, this song speaks about who God is. He is faithful, good, steadfast, and true. And in response to this, we cannot help but want to know him better, to seek him with all our hearts and minds, to love him and to serve him. You know, whether or not we celebrate the successes of life or endure the challenges it presents, be it in exams, in school, problems at home, or even going through army, may the privilege of having God as our personal God, who is in control of our lives, encourage us to relate to him at a deeper level, and may we always seek to know God and to love him with all of our hearts. May I invite you to sing this song together with me, with all of my heart.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we are reading from Genesis chapter 33, verses 1 to 7. This passage describes Jacob and Esau's reunion since Jacob fled from Esau over 20 years ago in fear that he would kill him.
we see how their relationship has reconciled and how Jacob has become a humble man. Now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. And he put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last.
Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. And he lifted his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are these with you?" So he said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant."
Then the maidservants came near, they and their children, and bowed down. And Leah also came near with her children, and they bowed down. Afterward, Joseph and Rachel came near, and they bowed down.
Good afternoon, young people. It's my joy and privilege to be able to pray for each one of you this afternoon. One of the lessons last week that really stood out to me was this idea of struggle. You know, we read about how change was observed in Jacob's life as he faced the threat of his brother Esau's imminent arrival. And at that point in time, Jacob no longer wanted to amass wealth. This was not what Jacob was thinking about. It was not the desire of his heart to amass wealth anymore. But what was it that changed? We read last week about how Jacob sought for God's blessing. Not wealth, blessing. And this was a good and significant change in the life of Jacob. But this change took a very long time to take place and to materialize. You know, young people, this is something that I identify with. And maybe you can identify with this as well. That it is difficult to change. It takes a long time before we can speak of change in our lives. And the question that I asked myself this week was, why? Why is it so difficult to change? Why is it so difficult for the sins in our lives to be overcome or to be done away with? Well, that's because sin is formidable. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans that sin enslaves. It reigns in our lives, it has dominion, and it dwells in us. Sin is formidable. But another reason why change is so difficult and it takes so long is because we are of the flesh. We are carnal and we are just so weak. And so sin is formidable and we are of the flesh. You know, this is something that I see in all of our lives. Some of you have shared that when your exams ended, and when you got back your results, you reflected on the weeks and maybe the months leading up to your mid-year exams. And some of you shared that the problems that you faced in 2020, 2021, it was the same problems that you faced this year as well. You know, you recognized that these were things that needed to be changed, but you found it hard to change. And you went through the same problems, and inevitably your results were affected. This is something that I experience in my own life. I know that there are things which need to change. As a pastor in training, there are things that I must change. But it is difficult, it is challenging. But I take encouragement from what Pastor shared with us last week about how we ought to struggle until change is seen. But not just to struggle in our own strength, but to struggle while seeking the Lord for His help. And that's going to be my prayer for all of us this afternoon, that we would learn to struggle at the same time to seek the Lord for His help. Well, let's go to our God in prayer this afternoon. Dear God and Heavenly Father, as we think about how formidable sin is and how fleshly we all are, weak and carnal, we are just so conscious of our sinfulness as we come before You in worship. We ask for Your forgiveness and cleansing, first of all. Father, we also ask that You would grant us Your grace for those who have not come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ yet. May they come to believe in Him, that they may be saved from their sins. For those who do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize that the struggle with sin continues. And as we struggle, may we turn to You, may we rely on You for Your strength and help in our lives. And may we continue to struggle till change is seen. Hear this, our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, John, for your prayer. And this afternoon, as we begin, before we go into our text, I'd like you to think of a question. How do you face your fears? You see, the problem of fear is something that we can all identify with. Whether you are young or whether you're older, we all have fears in our life. Maybe when you're young, some of you fear the dark. You know, don't want to be in a dark room alone. Maybe you fear being lost in a shopping mall. All kinds of fears, right? When you get older, you have a different set of fears. Fear your exams. You fear being socially excluded by your friends. And as you get older, you start to fear the future. What are you going to do? Are you going to get a job? You know, all kinds of stuff that may come. And we all have different coping mechanisms when it comes to facing our fears. For my son, Dan, he is 4 years old, turning 5 this year. One of his great fears when he was younger was the fear of haircuts. Like, he really is super scared of haircuts. I don't know why, but he was just super scared of it. I think it's the sensation of the razor, you know, and for guys, you know, the buzzing of the razor and going near his skin. He hates it. Oh, he hated it. And when he was a kid, every time I bring him to a haircut, my wife is very clever. She always assigns me to bring him for haircuts. And I'll bring him for the haircut. And it was always a stressful time for us. Right, I'll coax him. I'll say, Dan, we got to go for a haircut. And he'll say, no, no. And I'll say, I'll buy you McDonald's. He'll say, okay, I'll go. But when I bring him into the hair salon, and the moment he hears a razor being turned on by the hairdresser for someone else, I can feel his body clamp up. You know, he stiffens up, he starts to whimper, and he tells me he doesn't want McDonald's anymore. And for the next 10 minutes, it's just really painful. when his turn comes, I'll say a quick prayer to God and I'll say, Lord, can you please bring some peace to this place? Because he will start to cry the whole salon down. He'll cry, he'll scream, he'll struggle, he'll fight. This once he struggled so badly that his diaper got dislodged and he peed on me. And it was bad, it was so bad. But that was how my son responded to his fear. He was just, you know, when haircuts are just one of his greatest nemesis, and he'll respond to it by crying and screaming and shouting. But now, thankfully, he doesn't do that anymore. He's much better, but he still wants his McDonald's. And we made it a habit now. And you know, we find different ways to cope with fear. When we get older, of course, we don't respond in the same way. When we face fears, perhaps some of us, we withdraw ourselves as a way of coping. You know, we keep away from people, we withdraw ourselves, we spend time binge-watching Netflix, binge-playing our computer games, binge-reading our novels. And we just kind of have this escape path, right? We escape into our own little happy zone. And that's one way to cope with fear. And some of us, we cope with fear by working hard. You know, if exams are coming, we are scared, we're going to lock ourselves down. You know, we're going to be in our room 24/7, we're just going to mark and mark and mark until the paper comes. Right? And of some of us, we cope with fear by complaining, venting our frustration. You know, whoever will give us airtime, we will be there to talk to them, vent, so unfair, why is it like that? And that's how maybe some of us, we cope with our fears. Now today, we're going to look at how Jacob faced his fears. And he chose to face his fear with this word called faith. And we're going to see how he sought to apply his faith as he was about to meet one of his greatest fears, his brother Esau. Now we look at this in chapter 33, verse 1. Now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. Now this 400 men, it's not new to us. We read it a few weeks ago in Genesis 32, verse 6. Right, the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. And so this is not new to Jacob. Now, as we look at this 400 men, we got to have a better appreciation of what it is. I don't think this 400 men are just, you know, nice, domesticated, kindly souls. I don't think they are men who were just lost and Esau somehow found them and wandered around with him. I don't think they were like his fan club guys, you know, like, you know, K-pop stars, you have your fan clubs that follow you everywhere. I don't think these 400 men are like the fan club kind of thing. What these 400 men are likely to be are 400 men who are armed, 400 men who have been in battle, 400 men who are trained to fight. And they follow Esau to patrol the grounds, to look out for any enemy, any danger, and to go into battle with him. And these were the 400 men right here. We learned about Esau, how he was a man of the field, how he would live by the sword. And these 400 men are likely to be similar to him. Men who live by the sword, men who follow him as soldiers. And you can understand why Jacob might have felt fearful in Genesis 32. Right? It's not just 400 nice, kind souls. It was 400 warriors. And the fear came, and the distress came. And that was what? That was why Jacob felt the way he did in chapter 32. Now in 33, he heard about it from his servants. Now he sees it with his very own eyes. No longer just hearing, right? He gets to see it for himself. As he looked, he lifted his eyes and looked. There Esau was coming, and with him, 400 men coming down. It's like the moment of truth, right? You're coming, 400 men, you see it from afar off. What's going to happen now? How's it going to go down? And we see how Jacob responded to Esau. So he divided the children, verse 1, among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants, put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, Rachel and Joseph last. Then he crossed over, went before them, bowed himself 7 times until he came near to Esau. Now, as we look at this response of Jacob, what stands out to us? And there are 2 things that stand out from his response. And the first thing that stands out from his response is the omission of fear. The omission of fear. Now you look at this in chapter 33. You don't see the word fear being mentioned anymore. In chapter 32, verse 7, when he first heard from his messengers that Esau was coming with 400 men, what was it? He was greatly afraid and distressed. There was a great sense of fear that came. But here, when you look at chapter 33, verse 1, you don't see the fear being mentioned anymore. The fear has abated significantly. He was not responding with the same fear that he felt in Genesis 32. And there was an omission of fear right here. And what else stood out? Not only was there an omission of fear, there was also a great sense of courage. Courage. And we see courage in him going before his family to meet Esau by himself. And to understand this and to appreciate this, we've got to think back of how Jacob was like in the past. When we look at Genesis 28, what did Jacob do when he heard from his mom that Esau was planning to kill him? He ran away, right? He listened to the mom, ran over to Laban. He ran away from his brother Esau. In Genesis 31, when he saw his father-in-law's face, the countenance, and it was not good, and he knew that his father was not favorable toward him, God told him, it's time to return to your homeland. What did he do again? He ran. He fled in secret. Right? Running away is something that Jacob did in the past, Genesis 28, Genesis 31. But now, as you look at Genesis 33, there was no longer a mention of that fear, but there was a sense of courage. He was not going to run away. He was not going to hide behind anyone. He was now going up front to meet Esau himself. Courage. And with that courage also came with the humility. That humility that was not there in the past. Now he will bow himself before Esau. He addressed Esau as Lord in Genesis 32. Now he is going to bow himself before Esau 7 times until he came near to Esau. And what does all these different things tell us about his response? It tells us that his response was one of faith. How was he able to respond like that? It's because of his faith. As he feared in Genesis 32, he prayed to God for deliverance. He made preparations and he struggled with God in the night, wrestling with him for the blessing. And as he struggled with God, he prayed to God. He clung on to God's promises to deal well with him and treat him well. There came a sense of peace, a sense of assurance, a sense of renewal of faith, a sense of strength. And as he was experiencing all these things from God, he came to that point, Genesis 33, and met Esau with faith. There was no more fear. There was a renewed faith. He was going to arm himself with this faith that he found, this new renewal of faith, this change that God had given to him. And he was going to face Esau differently. No more fear, but courage, humility there. Now, was Jacob's faith all perfect? And the answer is no. It was faith, but it was not perfect. There were flaws in his faith. And we see the flaws in his life right here, in the way he divided his family. Now, we see here he divided Leah, Rachel, and the 2 maidservants. He positioned them, right? The 2 maidservants with the children here, Leah in the middle, Rachel and Joseph at the back. And what is this telling us? This tells us that at the end of the day, Jacob was still partial to Rachel and Joseph. Yes, he was a changed man. He was given a new name. He was renewed in his faith. But there's this part of him that was still there. Up to the point where it came to a matter of life and death, he still treated Rachel and Joseph favorably. All of them are his children, but there were only two in his family that he really cared about, Rachel and Joseph. He put them right at the back, just because in case Esau decides to attack, he'll go first, the two maid servants and the children, Leah and the children, and this will perhaps give time for Rachel and Joseph to run away. And so his faith was not perfect. There were still flaws in his life. But was his faith genuine? And the answer is yes. It was a genuine faith right here. And young people, this is our challenge, to be able to respond to our faith with fear, to respond to our fear with faith, to be able to find a faith, to respond to the fear that we can't run away from. And we see Jacob doing this right here. Now, as Jacob responded to his fear with faith, we see an unexpected turn of events. And as he came before his brother, he bowed 7 times, and he waited for his brother to come to him. You can just imagine all the possibilities that may be running in his mind. Of course, the worst-case scenario is that the brother will attack him, kill the family. Worst-case scenario, maybe Rachel and Joseph can run away. Don't know. But maybe there are other possibilities as well. Maybe when he meets Esau, Esau may not kill him, but Esau may teach him a lesson, right? You know, you take something from me, and I'll make sure you learn a lesson you never forget. You know, maybe he'll do that. Maybe he'll teach him a lesson, he'll punish him, he'll scold him, he'll mock him. Or maybe as he's scolding Jacob, Jacob will find a way to plead and beg for mercy and to find a way to get out of this situation. For all the possibilities that went through his mind, I don't think anything would have prepared him for what was going to happen here. And here we see in verse 4, but Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, fell on his neck, not strangle him, you know, not strangle his neck, fell on him, like hug him, and kissed him, and they wept. Kissed him, and he wept. That was a tremendous display of brotherly love. And this was something that Jacob probably would not have expected. We go on to see how he lifted his eyes in verse 5 and saw Jacob's family and asked, who are these with you? And Jacob introduced the family to Esau. And it was like a happy family reunion right here. Right? A great sense of brotherly love, a family reunion. And this was something that probably did not cross Jacob's mind at all. And we can understand this. You know, when we talk about siblings, just because you're siblings, it doesn't mean you have this kind of love for each other. I mean, we can be honest, right? Those of us who are siblings, just because you have a brother and sister, you're not going to run and hug your brother or sister every day like that. Right? I see some of you, you're like laughing. I understand that. I'm not going to mention names right here. But we understand that. Just because you're siblings, it doesn't mean you have that kind of love. You know, in Singapore, from time to time, we will read in the papers of how siblings will sue each other for their parents' wealth. You know, father has passed away, leaves behind a huge inheritance, and this brother number one takes brother number three to court because brother number three has the will in his name. And we see this. It just because you're a sibling, it doesn't mean you have love. And in Jacob's case, we can understand that, right? All his life, for 40 years with his brother, there was no real sense of love between them. They were complete opposites. One was a man of the field, one was a domesticated man. There was no sign of love and affection between them. When Esau asked him for food, he used it as a bargaining chip to get something out of Esau. When father wanted to bless Esau, Jacob used it as an opportunity to steal the firstborn blessing. Love was not a language that they had known before. But here we see love being expressed and displayed in a very special and tremendous way. But as we look at this scene of love, it is something unexpected. It is something that is special. But what stands out behind this scene right here? Is it just about an amazing display of brotherly love? What is it that is being communicated behind it all? And the deeper, greater truth behind it all is God's faithfulness to Jacob. God's faithfulness to Jacob displayed in a very powerful and personal way. We go back to Genesis 28, what God told Jacob. We go back to Genesis 28 and you see this. When Jacob first encountered God in his life for the first time, God told Jacob in verse 15, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Genesis 31, in verse 3. Right, the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you." And as Jacob sought to exercise his faith to face his fear, God displayed his faithfulness and help Jacob to experience his faithfulness in a very personal way. You know, that he will be with him, that he will keep him, he will protect him, bring him back to his homeland, and he will do it in a way that Jacob possibly could not have imagined happening ever. That it would take a changing of the brother's heart from one that was bent on revenge to one that will show him with that kind of love and affection after 20 years. And this was God's message to Jacob, that he is with him, that God is faithful to him. What God has promised to Jacob, he will bring it to pass. And this was God's faithfulness on display right here for Jacob to see and for Jacob to experience in his own life. Now, as we come to the end of our message today, what are some lessons for us to consider? Well, all of us have fears in our life, and there are some fears that we can't run away from. For some of you, you're going to take your O-levels this year, can't run away from it. You can't hide under the chair, can't scream your way out of it. You can't, you've got to face it. And O-levels is tough. It's not going to be easy. For those of you taking A-levels, no, it's also going to be tough. Right, it's like a two-year marathon, right? When you have your holidays, it's not really a holiday, it's your study break. And you just gotta study through every break that you have just to prepare for your A-levels. And it can be scary to think about it. You know, for some of you going to army or in army right now, it can be a tough and stressful time. Or maybe some of you are graduating from uni and you really don't know what the future holds for you. And the challenge for us this afternoon is to face our fears with faith, to exercise our faith in God. As we see how Jacob exercises faith in God, this is something for us to do as well, to turn to God in prayer for our fears, to cling on to God's promises in our life. You know, God has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, promises to be with us, to help us, to strengthen us, to look after us. And these are promises that we can cling on to and hold fast to. You know, to draw near to God and to hold fast to him, as what we see Jacob did last week in Genesis 32. And if we can exercise our faith in God, to hold fast to him, his word, his presence, his promises, we'll be able to find the peace, the assurance, the strength to face our fears. And that is a lesson for us to consider. Can we face our fears with faith? And the answer is yes. And as we exercise our faith to face our fears, we can look forward to experiencing God's faithfulness to us. What God has promised to us, he will keep. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing is impossible. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, beyond what we can ever comprehend. because He is a faithful God. What He has promised, He will keep for us. And so this afternoon, young people, as we take time to ponder over the Lord's word, let us be challenged. Let us be challenged to find a faith that will arise to face our fears, to hold fast to Him, to draw near to Him, to keep His promises in our heart. And as we do that, let us trust that God will be faithful to us. What He says, what He promises, He will fulfill. And if we can do that, we will find a faith that will be strong, a faith that will be true, a faith that can help us to cope with every single challenge that we face in life. And this is something which I'm seeking to apply in my own life as I look to the future. And I hope that this is something that we too can hold fast and practice in our own life. Well, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we come before You this afternoon to thank You for Your word in Genesis 33. As we see how the scene unfolds, how Jacob meets his brother Esau, and to be reunited to him in a special way, we recognize that it is You all along, Your faithfulness to Your word, Your promises which You keep, and how You will always be there throughout every single step of our way. We pray and ask that You'll help us to learn to exercise our faith to face our fears, that there's nothing that we cannot surmount with faith, that there's nothing too hard for us to take on in life when we have faith in You. And we pray and ask that You help us to trust in Your faithfulness, that You keep Your word to us, that You answer our prayers and You will fulfill Your promise to us in ways that we cannot possibly imagine. We pray and ask for Your blessings. Be with us in Your Son's most precious name. Amen. Well, thank you for being here. And I hope that you'll take time to ponder over this word and really let us be challenged to exercise our faith to face our fears. All right? Well, take care. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you next week.